Blog Hello. Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Crystal and Beek Larson with Cosmic Citizen, joining you today with Tony Jones, who I believe is on the air with us. Hi, Tony,
yes,
are
am.
You there? I'm having a lot of background or feedback noise.
I'm here.
Do you have me on speakerphone?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, welcome to Cosmic Citizen.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
I have another host who's calling in, if you'll hold on just one second.
You bet.
Hi, Paula.
Hi.
I have you on the air with myself and Tony Jones, and I just want to give a quick introduction to Tony. Tony is an author, a theologian, blogger, and a co-founder of Jopa Productions. And I met him a few years back at Christianity 21 in Minneapolis.
That's
and
right.
Tony also calls himself an ecclesiologist.
That's right.
Maybe you can explain what that means, Tony.
Well, I have it defined on my website as an ecclesiologist is like being a proctologist for the church. So I go places nowhere else. Nobody else wants to go, but somebody's got to go there.
Well, that's
like
a very
that.
Vivid description. So, Tony is joining us today on Cosmic Citizen to talk a little bit about a new program that he is promoting called Animate Faith, which was very intriguing to me. And I've looked into it a little bit, but I'm hoping, Tony, that you'll be willing to give our listeners a bit more of a well-rounded overview of what that program is. And maybe you want to start with just giving a little bit about your background.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I live in Minnesota, and it's where I was raised. I live just a couple blocks from my parents, actually, and am a proud and happy Minnesotan. My education is at, I got my undergrad degree at Dartmouth College. I went on immediately to Fuller Seminary and got a Master of Divinity. And then from there, I spent 10 years doing ministry in a church setting and in a mission. You do it running youth mission trips. And then after 10 years of that, I went back to school one last time to get a PhD at Princeton Seminary in New Jersey and completed that finally in 2011 after kind of a long period of doing some other, you know, writing when I probably should have been writing my dissertation, but I wrote other books instead. So, yeah, like you said, I make some trouble with Doug Padgett. We co-own a business, and we speak at events together quite often, and we're both part of Solomon's Porch, which is a Christian faith community in the Twin Cities. And I do, I write books, I blog every day at Pathios, I speak quite often, and then another part of my professional life is that I work for Sparkhouse, which is a publishing imprint of Augsburg Fortress, the publishing house of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And the product that you're talking about is Animate Faith. It's one of the kind of hallmark products of this young entity called Sparkhouse, in which we're really trying to be a multi-denominational publisher. As you might guess, for traditional mainline publishing houses like Augsburg Fortress, there's not probably, it's a shrinking market as mainline Christianity shrinks and as traditional publishing, you know, print publishing kind of goes the way of the dodo bird, too, it seems. Then they've just been reaching out and trying to figure out how can we engage more congregations with excellent materials beyond the ELCA. And that's,
right.
you know, when they brought me and some other people in, and that's where Animate came from.
Cool. Well, it looks very appealing to me. I mean, just from what I've seen of it. And
I think that it would appeal to a lot of Cosmic Citizen listeners, because it's got the kind of people who you've, you know, either had on the show or probably will have on the show in the future, people like Brian McLaren and Lillian Daniel and Nadia Boltz-Weber and Mark Scandrett and others. So it's 7 sessions long. It's meant to be used primarily in congregational setting, although obviously people could use it in the home as well. And, it, you know, each session has a video that's 8 to 9 minutes long where the presenter, some of those names of those people I just mentioned, have a pretty intriguing script that they go through on this video. And there's this wonderful animation, which, Crystalline, you'll remember from Christianity 21 that Paul Supase did live sketching through that entire event.
That was so cool. That was just one of the most original things I had ever seen.
Yeah, I'm glad to report that he's going to be live sketching again at our event called Emergence Christianity in Memphis in January. That's going to be about Phyllis Tickle's new book. But Paul,
I'm actually hoping that I'll be able to get to that.
Yeah, I know. I knew that, and I hope to see you there too. So Paul provided these live sketches. So each of the presenters, and people can go on to wearesparkhouse.org and see samples of all the videos from Animate. And you'll see that each of these presenters, each of them a pastor or theologian in their own right, talks into the camera, but behind them on a white screen are Paul's sketches as he kind of illustrates the very things that they're talking about on camera. So it's really a beautiful combination of words and imagery. And then he also provided sketches for the what we call the journal, which is, you know, what kind of in an adult kind of curriculum, it's the piece that the learner uses to sketch out their ideas, ask questions, answer questions, you know, look something up in the Bible or on Wikipedia and make some notes and then bring it to the group. And then there's also a facilitator guide that helps group leaders kind of work through the curriculum too.
Cool. And tell our listeners, if you would, how a pastor, a congregation, or a study group or religious community might access this program.
Well, it's easy to get. I mean, if you need to access it by, like, getting a copy of it, very easily
done. Yeah, how
done.
How do they use it?
They use it, you know, people are pretty creative, I find, who lead adult education in congregational settings. So we've heard so far of groups using it in the traditional way of, like, you know, there's an adult education hour before worship on Sunday morning. A lot of congregations have been using it that way. I know that some
are
using it.
That's how we do in our church.
Sure, that's probably the most common way. Other churches have a Wednesday night, you know, the same time that ninth graders are in confirmation, there's an adult class. But here's what's interesting. We found that there's a lot of interest in using this curriculum for upper high school students as well. So we've got a lot of youth pastors using it. Kind of for the kids who've already been through confirmation, maybe juniors and seniors in high school. We've had other people use it in home groups, like, you know, home small groups and Bible studies. So there are a lot of different ways that that people have incorporated it into their spiritual life.
And if you could sort of give us the nuts and bolts of it in a brief overview, what would you say it includes?
Well, here's the thing. I think that a lot of congregational resources that are out there, they usually either have really nice design and theology that some of us who are more progressive are a little uneasy with. So we kind of hold our nose or cross our fingers behind our back and use that curriculum. Or we find resources that have the theology that we concur with, but it's really not designed very well. It's kind of seems like it was thrown together in a bad word processing program.
Right.
And, you know, when we at SparkHouse look around at the most innovative companies out there, like, let's say, Apple, you know, the richest company in America right now, they're somehow able to both have very high design and have really excellent content or, actual resource. So, you know, not only is the iPhone or an Apple laptop computer or the iPad a very well-designed and beautiful product that's aesthetically pleasing, but it also works well. Like, it does what you want it to do. So we're trying to develop resources for congregations and children and youth and adults that have that same kind of high design, and it does what it want. It does what you want it to do. It's a resource that actually works. So in Animate, it's kind of the first. You know, this is the first of what we hope will be several series of Animate. And this first series is kind of an intro to Christianity. It's 7 sessions long. We've got Brian McLaren talking about God, who is God, how do we understand God, you know, the incomprehensible creator of the universe, and yet we need to talk about God. So that's what Brian talks about. Shane Hipps talks kind of about spirituality and religion and existence and salvation, kind of what are we here for and what are we trying to be saved from and what are we trying to be saved to. Lillian Daniel talks about, do we really need organized religion? Bruce Reyes Chow talks about, what's the point of going to church? Nadia Boltz-Weber talks about the cross, the meaning of the cross at the center of Christianity. And Lauren Winter talks about the Bible. Like, what in the world is this funny book that we keep going back to and looking for answers in? So those are the sessions, and you can tell by those names, you know, we've got an Episcopal priest who's a professor at Duke. We've got a megachurch pastor. We've got a Presbyterian church planter. We've got a Lutheran. We've got a United Church of Christ pastor. We got, Mark Scandrett talks about following the Jesus way. Mark's kind of an itinerant missionary, creative poet. So it's really a wide variety of presenters presenting on what we think is kind of the core aspects of Christianity. So with that diversity in the presenters, you can imagine the point of view is not like laser sharp focus. It's not really about, here's our perspective on Christianity, now we want you and your congregation to buy it. It's more, here are some very provocative presentations and a beautifully designed a journal for you to write and sketch out your thoughts in. It's designed to look like a moleskin. And these presenters are going to ask you a big question. They're not going to answer it. They're going to ask it. And it's really... it really is a sincere and earnest question, and we think, and what we've heard back so far from church leaders is it's working. It really catalyzes great conversation in those groups.
Wonderful. Well, it sounds like a very timely project.
Well, we hope so. I mean, these people we've got are very much leaders who are on the forefront of the church today. These are not like you see in some other, you know, adult-type products. These are not people who've been around in the church world for 50 years and are now in their retirement. These are people who are, you know, still pastoring churches and writing books and trying to make things happen. So I think it's pretty timely. And the topics, of course, in some ways are timely, but are also timeless. Like, do we really need organized religion? And, you know, what's the real meaning of the cross? So I hope it combines kind of a timeliness. It feels relevant for today. But it also tackles issues that people in churches, you know, have wanted to talk about for a long time.
And often where either pastors or congregants have felt a difficulty about talking in, about some of these issues. I mean, they haven't always been encouraged from the pulpit.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that in kind of center to left Protestantism in America, there's more and more openness to these questions.
You're breaking up a little bit there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Could you repeat that?
Yeah, I think that a lot of people in progressive settings and progressive congregations are more and more interested in having really forthright conversations about and what they're interested in.
Absolutely. That's really true, and it certainly is what young people seem to want to talk about.
Well, you got to think that, you know, yeah, you know, we live in a world where people who are in their 20s have lived with the reality of Wikipedia throughout their educational lives, at least through high school and college. Wikipedia has been around. And that is, you
that's
know,
really amazing.
Right. It's an online collaborative encyclopedia. You know, so they're just simply used to being a part of a conversation about what truth is and what really matters. And
indeed,
if you say, you know, if you say to somebody, oh, no, it's this way, this is what it's always been, I just think that what you're saying is right, that for younger people, they just live in a very participatory, collaborative culture. And so I think that a church resource for adults that is, in its very nature, participatory and collaborative, where it opens room for conversation as opposed to foreclosing discourse, is really going to be helpful to a lot of congregations in, you know, getting younger adults, even upper high school people, to be involved in education. And let's be honest, even while people still go, you know, in very large numbers to worship in congregations, aside from a few congregations, most churches really struggle to get people engaged in adult ed, you know, to get them to go to adult ed classes, adult Sunday school. That's a real struggle for a lot of congregations. So I think, I hope this really reaches a felt need in a lot of churches to have a resource that's well designed, that's snappy, that's fun, that's video based. And that will, like you suggest, engage younger people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really important, and you know, it's sort of, we have to sort of go that way, because
yeah,
the culture has changed in some really important ways, and you know, the church probably has to be more fluid. As Phyllis Schickel says, you know, we're in a age of transformation of the church. It's undergoing another sort of epic change in its in its structure and nature. And this more collaborative or more conversational experience in church seems to be an important aspect that young people are looking for.
I think that's right. I just have so much static.
I'm afraid I'm barely able to hear you.
Are you in a windy place
by any chance?
No, I'm not in a windy place, and I have 5 bars on my phone, so I don't know what's going on.
Well, with any luck, it's just my line, which it could very well be.
Yeah, I have some problems
sometimes with my line. So if you can hear things clearly, then maybe it's just on my end.
I can hear you
with any luck.
Yes. I think I'm with Phil. You know, I agree with Phyllis, and it is, we are in a transformational age in the church. So many other things around us are changing so rapidly, and the church, as you know, everybody kind of knows and acknowledges, the church really struggles to make changes. I think a lot of people who go to church, they expect the church to be the one institution in their lives that doesn't change. And
Right. That's problematic.
That's problematic because everything around us is changing. Media is changing. Education is changing. You know, the church ends up getting stuck in some pretty bad company with institutions like government and military. It has a really hard time changing and keeping up with the times because it's so entrenched in bureaucracy. But, you know, American business changes. American media changes. So the church...
American culture is undergoing almost a constant change.
Right. So the fact that we think, well, you know, we can still get up on Sunday morning and deliver a 25-minute monologue sermon... and not allow anybody a chance for dissent or commentary or feedback.
Or questions.
Yeah, that's just living on borrowed time. I mean,
Yeah. People
now, you know, my dad used to throw his shoe at the television during the Vikings game because the Vikings were playing so poorly. Well, now we've even seen it this week. There was such an uproar, an outcry from NFL fans over a botched
over what
call.
Happened with the Green Bay game.
Yeah, and now what did it do? It forced the NFL to bring back the officials, to bring back their unionized referees. And
right.
I'll tell you what, that wouldn't have happened 40 years ago when I was growing up. My dad would have thrown his shoe at the television. And maybe the sports columnist would have griped about it in the paper the next day. But now Twitter and Facebook and blogs and everything else blew up with criticism of the NFL. And they were basically forced to reconsider and to bring back the referees. So, you know, that's just the kind, you know, my kids are being raised in a world in which feedback, you know, they expect their voice to be heard on every single topic, for good and for
yeah.
ill, right? We may not like that, but it is the way it is. So how long is a preacher going to be able to stand up, clip a microphone onto his robe, and say, I get to talk for the next 25 minutes and nobody else does? It's just, you know,
what I say is doctrine.
Right, and you know, I teach, this evening I'll be teaching a seminary class. And I went to seminary, and seminary was mainly, like every other version of academia for me sitting and listening while somebody else talked. Like, that's how seminary education went. That is not how I teach. I do not lecture. And I think most of the professors at the seminary with me do not lecture because that's not what students expect. They want to be engaged in their own learning process, and I want them to be, of course. So,
good teachers want their students to be engaged.
Yeah, that's right.
And really, as pastors, we're really just glorified teachers, you know, in the in the old days, it was mostly pastors who did all the teaching.
Yeah. Well, and there was a day, right? There was a day when the pastor, when in Jonathan Edwards' time, the pastor was the most educated man in the village in colonial times. And so, yeah, he truly was an authority on the Bible, on philosophy, on literature, on most things. And
when you think about the times when few people could even read.
Yeah, right.
You know, that was a really important, that played a really important function back then.
Yeah. And, of course, that's not the case anymore. The pastor is not the most educated person in the village anymore. Now lots of people are very well educated. A lot of, you know, you may have a master's degree and you're preaching to a room including people with PhDs. So they are,
well,
by
one
definition,
of the things. Go ahead.
Well, they're by definition more educated than you as the pastor. So what position does that put you in? Well, I would hope that would put you in the position of being a co-learner along with the people in the congregation.
Yeah, some kind of facilitator. Yeah, and I think about the way Jesus learned, you know, the culture that he grew up in. It was very much more the Jewish tradition, which includes much more debate, study, and discussion.
Yeah.
You know, the yeshiva kind of tradition.
Also called the Socratic method, that's right.
Exactly. And he would hardly have been one who would have been very sit there and be quiet and listen kind of a guy. I mean, I'm sure as a child he probably was a little more that way, but you know, you see him taking on the rabbis in the synagogue in his day and age, and asking questions that often were quite discomforting to them. So it does seem like we come by this tradition honestly.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I'm not going to be so arrogant as to say that, this curriculum that I worked on is, you know, of the same pedagogy that Jesus used. But I think you're right. We're in a long line of people who want to process and think and argue and persuade and, yeah, that's hopefully what this is all about.
And we're evolving. I mean, I don't think there are that many of us who would argue that we're not growing. And, you know, change isn't always forward moving. But, you know, given enough time, it tends to go that way.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, and I will I'll see if we can't get one or two of the presenters whose names I've mentioned to call into the program and also chat with you about it a little bit.
Well, that would be wonderful. We would be very grateful. I'm very enthusiastic about promoting this to our listeners and to some other pastors.
Yeah, I appreciate that a lot. It really is great, and I think that people who try it will become very fond of it very quickly.
Great. Well, I know you don't have very much time to talk with us today, so I'll be happy to let you go. But if there's anything else you'd like to add before you go, I don't want
to
cut you off.
Yeah, I just want to remind people that if they go to wearesparkhouse.org, they will be able to find more information about Animate, see video clips, get a PDF sampler of the journal and the facilitator guide. So there are a lot of resources available for people who just want to like check it out and look at it a little more closely to see what this is all about.
Wonderful. And then if they do decide that it's something that they'd like to incorporate in their own study group, community, or ministry, their congregation, Is there information there about how to go about ordering the program?
Yep, it's very yeah. There are big buttons all over the place where you can buy the curriculum. So that'll be no problem for people. We'll ship it right out to you.
All right, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Cosmic Citizen.
Thanks for having me.
Back anytime. So please keep me informed of other programs that you have coming up so I can keep our listeners informed.
Great, and I hope to see you in Memphis in January.
I hope so, too, God willing.
All right, yes.
Thanks
all right,
again, Tony.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.